Welcome to the Story Story Night podcast, where you hear true stories on a theme, recorded live on stage and without notes. I'm your host, Jessica Holmes. Today, we return to our powerful, moving November theme, Living Without, Stories of Letting Go. First, featured storyteller Julie Peach recounts lessons learned with the dying of the light.
Yes, we have time for one more question. Anybody have another question in the room? Yes, you right back there, young gentleman. Ma'am, what would you have done different that day? Oh, my goodness. In the last year, no one has ever asked me that question. What would have I done different? What would have I done different? I wouldn't have let her die. I wouldn't have let her go. That's the only thing that came to my mind. Now, 2 weeks later, as I think about that question, another answer comes to my mind. As I was sleeping there by her bed, I would not have slept. I would have sat in a chair and watched her. Her breath labored in and out, her lips drying. I would have gotten water and moistened them. I would have held her hand and whispered that I love you oh so much. And as she reached her arms up to hug the one she was meeting, I would have watched the expression on her eyes to try to figure out who it was. But no, I lay there sleeping. She did pull me over on her a couple of times, and then she pushed me away and says, "Mom, you're too heavy." It was time to get up. I went downstairs to make my morning cup of coffee, as I always did. Her dad, that was sleeping downstairs, came to be by her. Her boyfriend took care of her. Yes, that's what I did that morning. And from this point in time, let's go back 1 month and 5 days. It's about 9 o'clock at night. I'm on the phone with my daughter in Oklahoma City. I'm in Boise, Idaho. She's been having some back pains and shoulder pains. Yeah. And she would call me up and say, "Mom." And I would say, "Oh, phone her. She can help you." "Mom." "Oh, phone him. He can help you." "Mom." This night she goes, "Mom, I need you. I don't want you to send me to him or to her or to anyone else. I need you." So that night on that telephone call, I agreed to step into that healer that we both agreed that I was. And as I turned off the phone, I opened up my journal. And I wrote a love letter to my wonderful Michelle. "Michelle, you now, 26 years old, I remember the first time I felt you in my belly. The joy you brought to me, the laughter I had, the good food I enjoyed, the vitamins, the sleep, the great friends. And I crave two wonderful foods, and I had them whenever I wanted. One was baked potatoes, and the other one, oranges. Yes, when you came into this world, it was not an easy entry. Oh, but when I got you in my arms, oh, I loved you so dearly. I loved having you sleep by my side. Oh, the joy you brought into my life. And when I took you home, I didn't know how to bathe you. Grandma Rose showed me how. Oh, what fun we had. The piano playing, you getting muddy at the age of 9. Oh, but tonight I put my ring that you gave me on my commitment finger because I'm committed to you now to be by you in sickness and in health. And whichever one of us crosses over first will be there to download information that the other one needs. Yes, I am you, and you am I. Mother, Tinctress, one. I closed my journal and went to sleep. And about 7 o'clock in the morning, Michelle's distinct and only phone ring on my phone rang. I picked it up and go, "Hi, Michelle, what can I do for you this morning?" "Mom, I can't move my legs." "What? I can't move my legs." "Surely there has to be some logical explanation. What can I do? I'm so far away." "Mom, I can't move my legs. What should I do?" "Call Amy. She lives close to you, and have her take you to the hospital." "Okay, I'll call you right back." Oh. I just sent my wings of my angels and I wrapped my daughter lying in her bed in Oklahoma. And I waited for her phone call to phone me back. "Mom, Amy's coming over. Her mom's coming with her. But I don't know how they're going to get into my apartment. My door's locked. I can't get up and the manager's never around when you need him." "I don't know, Michelle. They can break the door down. We'll deal with it later." I stayed on the phone and talked to her. "Mom, they're in my room. My door wasn't locked." "Thank you, angels." "Oh, bye, Michelle. Call me when you have any news." And as I closed that phone, it was the hardest thing to let go of that voice. Amy and her mom carried Michelle out of her apartment down the steps and into her car. They took her to the hospital. They found out she had a tumor wrapped around her spine, and she was going to have surgery the next day. Her dad and her grandmother flew down. I flew down the next day. We found a very happy Michelle in an ICU. We took her home 5 days later. Five of us, her grandma, her grandpa, her boyfriend, myself, and her sister were driving in five cars and her with her stuff packed behind up to Idaho. We took a road trip 26 hours from Oklahoma City to Boise. Driving straight through, can you imagine having back surgery and being in a car for 26 hours? We did make it as comfortable as we could. When we got to Boise, friends and family rearranged my house. Oh, my life had changed. My daughter was coming home for not the reason I thought she would. I went to doctor's appointments. After a week, the doctor says, "Michelle, you have melanoma cancer in every organ of your body. Get out of the doctor's offices. Go. Create memories." Michelle sat there, looked at the doctor straight in his eye, and he says, "I've conquered this. It has not conquered me." We took her home. We had a date night for her and her boyfriend. Shooed us all out of the house. They had a guitar player. And finally, they let us come back because they had fire twirling outside, the fire twirlers. We had a dinner for the family, gourmet meal, four courses, lovely. We went to the zoo with family and friends, and we got to go to a BSU football game. We cheered, we had all the colors. It was so much fun. It was great. We watched sitcoms. We talked of life, we talked of death. She says, "The funeral will not be. I want a celebration of life. I want everyone to remember the good about the living." So that morning as I made my coffee, I went back up on the third floor of my house. I sat there as I did every morning and watched the sun rise, and as I squinted my eyes and the sun came over the hills, sometimes it was a star, sometimes a cross, and sometimes a flower. This morning, it was a cross. The sun was up. My coffee's gone. Time to go down and give Michelle a bath. It would probably be a spit bath today. She didn't have a very good day yesterday. As I'm going down the stairs, her dad's with her in her room. Her boyfriend's coming up the steps from downstairs. Guys, get in here. She's gone. No, not my girl. Not ready. Not ready to let her go. We went into the room, and she was gone. We were there. She was gone. I wasn't ready to let her go, but I had no choice. So, if that man out there asked me that same question in this moment in time, my answer would be, I would do nothing different, nothing at all. I carried that wonderful creation in my womb. I nursed her as a child. I played with her as a child. I got to celebrate adulthood with her. And I got to nurse her till her last breath. Was I letting go of her? Was she letting go of me? But what I do know is that because of this experience, I am who I am, and she is who she is in this very moment.
Stories can be cathartic and help you let go. Stay tuned in to all the latest story news from Story Story Night by signing up for our e-alerts at storystorynight.org. Just enter your email in the tab at the right. Up next, Story Slam favorite Deborah Smith lives without and lets go of this consumer American life.
Well, if you're my age, you remember that old saw, if you love someone, let them go. And if they come back, then it's beautiful. If not, it was beautiful. You remember that? Well, it was May of 1987, and my daughter was four, just turning four, and my son was turning one. And so we held a birthday party with 50 children and their parents. Because we were living in the Bay Area, and I was a manager for Levi Strauss and Company, and my husband was an attorney, and we were yuppies, and that's just what you did. You out Martha Stewarted Martha Stewart. And I was up to that, and so I made a cake the size of a table. It was a sandcastle. We had a sandcastle theme going, and the kids were going to play in the sandbox in the backyard, but it rained. And so I had 50 children in the house. And we were really yuppified. We made a lot of money, and we spent it all making a lot of money. And this one couple, we were, you know, having a glass of wine, macaroni and cheese or something, I don't know. And they said, well, little Oliver won't be, Oliver looked like you would expect an Oliver to look like, kind of like that kid in Christmas Story. And they said, Oliver, we're not going to be in school next semester. This is a preschool, and we had semesters. We were really serious yuppies. And we've sold everything, and we bought a sailboat, and we're going to sail around the world. And I said, wow, I wish I could do that. And she looked me in the eye, and she said, you can.
And I said, well, no, I can't. I have a job, and I have, you know, a grandmother, and she's 84, and circling the drain. And I've got parents, and I've got a mortgage, and I've got student loans to pay off. And she said, well, you can make a choice. And so, you know, for a long time, this poem by Wordsworth kept insinuating itself in my brain. It was, the world is too much with us, late and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. And that was written in 1803, I think. And I was really feeling it because we had the illegal German au pair, and so I can never be a Supreme Court justice. But that's the only thing holding me back. But when she left and went back to Germany, you know, I hired someone to do just everything. But when I hired someone to play with my kids, I realized something was wrong. And so the opportunity came up for us to drop out. And so we did. We sold everything and paid off all the debts. And we moved to this little island called Saipan. And we thought it was going to be great. It was a new start. We were just going to live free and wild. And but an island that's 7 miles long and 5 miles wide is really kind of confining. I used to fly over to Guam just to put the car in fourth gear. Anyway, and so, and I realized that I'm really not the outdoorsy type. And so after 2 years, we decided to move back to the United States, and we picked Boise. And I'm really glad we did, but we just got right back into the rat race. We bought a 3-story home, and it had a swimming pool and 2 fireplaces and a formal this and 5 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms, and you know, somebody's got to clean that. And so we were living the middle-class life, getting and spending once again. And on Saturdays, we had a ritual where I made my kids go downstairs into the basement, and they had to pick up all their toys. And there were Legos and Ninja Turtles and Playmobil and Barbies. And my kids had the habit of playing with them together, not like on the packaging. And so I'd have Ninja Turtle, Barbie, Lego, Playmobil, Wonder Woman stuff. And it just drove me crazy because that's not the way it was supposed to be. That was not the way it was supposed to be. But I was learning to let go of things. I was learning to let go of the fact that my daughter was never going to be a ballerina. It's okay. She's in graduate school at NYU. She's doing just fine. But one day I was driving to Costco to spend my $200, as you know I was wont to do every week, and I slammed on the brakes to avoid hitting somebody, and this half-gallon, half-empty bottle of vodka fell, rolled from the back of the Caravan, gray, to the front seat. And I went, whoa, what's that? And then I realized that the getting and spending had gotten to my husband, and I no longer had the husband that I once had. And I had to learn to let go of the idea that there was nothing I could do for him. And when we spread his ashes in the Sierras, in an abandoned Boy Scout camp, on the lake where he used to canoe, and I wiped off my hands, I realized that we are clay. We are just clay. And a poem by Mary Oliver came to me, and it said, to live in the world, you must learn to do 3 things. To love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, and when it is time to let it go, to let it go. So I let him go, and he's never come back. But it was beautiful. And that's my story.
Story Story Night is brought to you by presenting partners, the Boise State Story Initiative and The Cabin.
venue partner The Linen Building, design partner Neighborhood All-Stars, and our broadcast partner Boise State Public Radio. Please donate now at radio.boisestate.edu. Our Story Story Night theme is by Dan Costello. Hear more at hearcostello.com. Please join us next week for our last installment of Stories from Living Without. Learn more at storystorynight.org.